Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Mike Graham, live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We are live on Talk Radio, coming to you from College Green on an historic day in Westminster. We are in the Talk Radio tent this morning, of course, for the first time ever on a Saturday, as Parliament sits on this day for the first time since 37 years ago. We have a host of top guests. We're all lined up. We'll be taking your calls too as we attempt to predict precisely what is going to happen later on today as voting begins on Boris Johnson's Brexit deal, something that seemed so far away just 1 week ago and could indeed be happening. The departure of the UK from the European Union, voted upon by the people of this country in a referendum almost 3.5 years ago. Several questions remain, though. Does the Prime Minister have enough support to get the bill through? Will enough Labour MPs rebel to make that happen? And will a last-minute amendment from former Cabinet Minister Oliver Letwin scupper the Brexit timetable and force yet another delay on the government and the country? The overwhelming feeling in the country is that people want to see Brexit getting done. But even as we speak, dozens of coaches are arriving from all over the country, full of Remainers who want to stop Brexit from happening. The latest People's March, which I'm calling the March of Delusion, will get underway at midday, led by Ramona-in-Chief Alistair Campbell. We'll bring you every single twist and turn live as it happens, every update on which MPs are planning to vote. And of course, we want to hear from you as well. So here is the number, 0344 499 1000. We are the only radio station that tells it to you straight. It's the truth, it's the whole truth, and it is nothing but the truth. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio, live right here in Westminster.
Mike Graham, live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Now, the proceedings are already underway. They kicked off around about 9.30 this morning. Boris Johnson has already set out his stall. Jeremy Corbyn is continuing with his line that the government cannot be trusted and these benches will not be duped. That's the line he's giving out there. What we do know now, though, is that Oliver Letwin's amendment, which came in quite late last night, could force another delay on the government regarding Brexit. It might mean that they won't be able to leave by the end of October, as Boris Johnson has vowed to do. However, the breaking news in the last hour or so has come from inside of Downing Street, in which it has been said if Oliver Letwin's amendment goes through, it may well be that the government pulls the entire voting process on the bill, which would mean that we've all turned up on a Saturday for not very much to happen. Let's talk, before we get to our first guest, Anand Menon, Director of UK and a Changing Europe. Let's talk very quickly to our reporter down here for Talk Radio, Ollie Cole. Ollie, tell us about what's happened so far, what amendments we've got to vote on, and roughly, if you can tell us that, what time that's all going to happen.
Okay, so the Speaker has selected two amendments. This is the Letwin amendment that you just mentioned, which seeks to extend that period and give some assurances that a no deal is not an option. He's also selected the Kyle Wilson amendment. Now, that's only an amendment to the actual, so the second motion, the deal itself, and that basically would attempt to attach a second referendum to that deal. However, if Letwin gets through, as we suspect it might, it's got cross-party support, although the government are rallying to try and stop it, then if that gets through, then the rest of the stuff is null and void. We'll see the big votes pushed into next week.
So the amendment voting is going to go ahead first, I guess, before the main bill?
Yes, so the amendments will be debated together. They'll then vote on the Letwin amendment to the initial motion, and we could see that around about 2:30, I'd say, and then we'll have to decide whether MPs sit for a bit longer to debate the actual deal itself or whether they're told by Number 10, go home, we're bringing it next week.
Okay, great. Thanks very much indeed. We'll be checking in with Ollie throughout the show, of course. We're here until 1 o'clock. Then it's Julie Hartley-Brewer from 1, live down here in Westminster as well, in the tent. Let's talk to Professor Anand Menon, Director of UK and Changing Europe. Anand, welcome back to the tent.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You probably didn't think you'd be here on a Saturday a few weeks ago, literally on a knife edge as to whether or not. I mean, I put out a tweet yesterday which said, by this time tomorrow, we could be out of the European Union. Quite a lot has happened since then.
Absolutely.
And I'm beginning to wonder whether that may have been slightly optimistic.
Well, it's very hard to know. Last night I would have said that Letwin is going to pass. But
yeah,
the government is desperately trying to head that off because Letwin, as you said, gives the gives us another delay. Now, what the Letwin case is, look, this deal is new, we don't know the details, we need to consider it properly, and if we vote for the government's deal, as the government's motion as it is, the danger is Parliament then has a choice. It either passes the implementing legislation very, very fast indeed, or there's no deal.
Right, and they're worried about a no-deal exit still, that they don't believe that Boris Johnson has kind of put to one side. They still think, in their minds, that Boris Johnson's actually just sort of spoofing everybody and wants to leave without a deal.
Well, the more charitable amongst them are saying, look, it's not that we think Boris Johnson wants no deal, it's what we're worried about is no deal by mistake. Because if there's no Ben Act, because that falls if we vote for the government's motion, it might just be, you know, we might end up leaving with no deal by cock-up rather than conspiracy.
Right, and well, that would be probably quite fitting, given what's going on for the last 3 years.
It would. Well, yes, there are those who might say
we finally wake up one morning, we're not in Europe anymore. There you go. What's interesting to me, though, is this latest kind of development this morning where the government supposedly, via sources inside Number 10, suggesting that if Letwin does get passed, they'll just pull the vote on the main bill altogether.
Yeah, bear in mind, if Letwin gets passed, the government can't pull the motion, because at that point, if it's amended, Parliament owns the motion, not the government. So it's up to Parliament to decide whether to pull it or not.
So they can't do that?
They can't pull the motion itself. I don't know whether there's another procedural trick where they can just say, OK, look, the government no longer wishes to take part in this, but the motion itself belongs to Parliament once it's amended by Parliament.
Okay, and if they were to walk away then and say, right, well, we're not going to take part in any voting process, I mean, that, again, is unprecedented.
It
presumably
is.
Presumably the vote would then go against the government and effectively the bill would be defeated.
Yeah, I think the really important thing to bear in mind about everything that happens today, and indeed everything that happens in Parliament around Brexit, is that it's only partly about Brexit. It's mainly about the general election that will be around, that will be coming in the next 6 months. At some point.
Yeah.
And what Boris Johnson wants to do, above all else, is create the impression that he's serious about Brexit, and insofar as it doesn't get done by the 31st, it's not down to him, it's down to a Remainer Parliament, because his priority is making sure the Conservatives cling on to those Brexit Party voters that they've won back since Boris Johnson became leader.
Yeah, now before all the shenanigans began with the Letwin sort of amendment and who was going to pull what and who's going to vote for what, the numbers were looking quite favourable for Boris Johnson, I thought, last night, on the main bill itself.
Well, at the risk of sounding like I'm hedging here, it was too close to call, definitely. There was a prospect he could win. The key variable, I suppose, are the number of Labour MPs who are willing to vote in favour. It's interesting that the Labour Party hasn't threatened to withdraw the whip from those who vote against the party line, but it's still not clear how many they are. I've heard conflicting rumours of over 10, under 10 this morning, but they are the crucial swing vote.
And as far as the actual Tories are concerned, it looks very much as though Boris has convinced most of them, including those who had been had the whip taken off them, to vote with the bill.
Yeah, absolutely. For a variety of reasons.
I mean, Oliver Letwin himself says he likes the bill, even though he wants to delay it.
Yeah, but I mean, what Oliver Letwin is a stickler for process, and I think deep down what his concern is the implementing legislation for this will be big, detailed, will take some time, and if Parliament wants to spend time considering that, we need to have an alternative to no deal. So that's why it's about process, the Letwin bill, as much as substance.
The obvious problem, of course, for those who are voting against the bill is that they are now being seen even more and ever more as people who want to have a second referendum, which I don't think there's enough support in the House for today. There's going to be a massive march going on in a couple of hours' time where we're going to see as many as, I don't know how many people, but certainly a few hundred thousand, I would imagine, marching for a second referendum, all of whom don't want to leave the European Union. Lord Adonis this morning puts out a tweet saying, you know, what we need to do is get a second referendum, and then you have to tell your constituents, he's addressing all his MPs, that we need to remain in Europe. So, the mask has fallen off now as far as, you know, being against a no deal. They're just against leaving, aren't they?
Well, the opposition to this deal is divided. There are a number of them, as you say, who basically want to stop Brexit, whether with a referendum or even in the case of the Lib Dems without a referendum. But there are also those who genuinely are happy to see Brexit happen, but are unhappy about the deal on the table. There are a lot of Labour MPs there, I think, at the moment, who are feeling nostalgic about Theresa May's deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly some of them said to me a few weeks back that they wished the Kinnock crowd, effectively, saying that they wished they'd voted for it, and they now want to vote for a deal pretty much similar to that, which it is. And I don't understand how so many people can misinterpret or interpret it so differently. And we've got Nigel Farage saying that it's effectively like not leaving the European Union. You've got people in Northern Ireland, like the DUP, saying that it's thrown them under the bus. You've got other people saying that it's a good deal for Northern Ireland. You know, once again, we have a political system which is broken. So for ordinary people listening to this radio show, sitting in their homes all over the country, they don't really know what to make of it.
Yeah, I think the truth is it is quite different from Theresa May's deal in one vital regard, which is that Boris Johnson wants us to have a looser relationship with the EU once we've left than Theresa May wanted us to have. And that is the reason why so many in the ERG, potentially all of them, are going to back this deal, and why there are so many in the Labour Party who have doubts and concerns about it.
And how is it possible, though, for the ERG to think that this is a good deal and for Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party to think that it's awful?
Well, a simple answer to that is election.
Right.
Nigel Farage, in order to do well in this election, has to be able to brand Boris Johnson not just as a Prime Minister who failed to get us out by the 31st of October, but a Prime Minister who tried to get us out with a deal that was no good. So that's the attack line for an election that Nigel Farage is practising
okay.
now.
Okay. And finally, you put out a very interesting sort of and measured graphic at the beginning of the week, your organisation did, about what the no-deal scenario and what a deal would look like in terms of the effect on the economy and all of that. Can you just sort of roughly give us what this scenario gives us if the deal goes through?
Well, the simple headline, I think, is that this deal falls halfway between Mrs. May's deal and a no-deal Brexit in terms of its impact on the economy, because what this deal foresees is a looser relationship with the European Union. So, for instance, manufacturers will not find it as easy to trade with Europe under the Boris Johnson proposals as they would have done under the Theresa May ones.
Okay. Alan, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
Alan Menon, you're going to have a long day. I'm going to have a reasonably long day as well. We are here all day, of course, and we want to hear from you. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio with The Times. Know your times.
Outspoken opinions and decisive debate. Mike Graham, live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We are live in College Green for the first time ever on a Saturday, because the Parliament behind me is sitting for the first time in 37 years, first time this century on a Saturday. You have to go all the way back to the Falklands War for the last time they actually sat here. But we want to hear from you, of course. There's a lot of confusion out there about exactly what is going to happen, and we are very glad to say that we will be trying to cut through all that confusion and bring you the truth of what is going to happen behind us over here. But we want to hear from you. 0344 499 1000. It all seems to be at the moment about amendments and main bills, voting, whether or not Oliver Letwin's bill is going to pass, whether or not Boris Johnson's got enough support for his bill to pass. We shall see. I'm delighted to say now we're joined by John Mann, Labour MP for Bassett Lord. John, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the Talk
good
Radio
morning.
Tent on Super Saturday, which does sound a little bit more sporty probably than it should. What can you tell us? What's going on behind us?
Well, what's going on is everyone's huddled together. So I can actually get over and ask Boris or the Chief Whip from either side what they think's going on.
Right.
But my own sources and my intuition, I think I can tell you what's going to happen.
Okay.
So there's going to be... The Speaker has, of course, assisted in prevaricating and sitting on the fence.
Yes.
That was predictable.
Mm.
In the name of Mr. Oliver Letwin,
who's yes.
tried it many times before. He's a serial sitter on the fencer.
Mm.
But I think what's going to happen is this. Letwin has got an amendment. It'll be voted on. I think it will get through.
Yeah.
I'm not too happy about that, but I think it'll get through. The government has already announced it's then... That's it, end of day. They're not having the big vote.
Right.
From a government point of view, that's smart. And the reason it's smart is what the government, I predict, will do, and I'd be 99% certain this is what happened. They said they're bringing it back on Monday, but they didn't use the word it. I think they're going to bring the withdrawal bill.
Right.
And they're going to do precisely what I advised Theresa May's team to do last time, which is put this meaningful vote, which is this device Parliament set up, that's been the big votes on the deal, to put that last and get the legislation through. Because you've got to get the legislation through.
Which is what the Letwin Amendment is all about, isn't it?
It is. So,
yeah.
Letwin gets through and they bring the bill. So, on Monday, we'll have, in parliamentary terms, the second reading of the bill. That's an unamended bill to leave the European Union.
Okay.
I think that will get through. The DUP will have to back it.
Yeah.
How can Labour vote against leaving the European Union? That would be a massive moment.
Mm.
It would be, I think, catastrophic for the Labour Party. No ambiguity about the different arguments, but this is basically voting to stay in the European Union if you vote that bill down on Monday. Then it'll go over the next 6-7 days to amendments. And it teases out the biggest amendment, referendum.
Yeah.
Perfectly legitimate. I disagree, of course, as you know.
Yes.
But perfectly legitimate. Someone wants to argue for a referendum, they can put it to an actual legal vote.
Mm-hmm. And so far...
And it'll lose.
I was going to say, whatever they've done, it has lost. There's not a majority for that.
All these people who are prattling on about, we're undoing workers' rights, in other words, that the listeners won't get their paid holidays, that can be voted on, if that's the case. It's not true, but...
Well, that's supposed to have been tweaked last night, isn't it?
It's in the... No, what they did, it wasn't much more important than a tweak, and this is why I think they're bringing the bill on Monday. Mm. They put it in the bill. That's what they announced last night.
Right.
The bill is law, rather than the political declaration.
Mm.
Political declaration is promise.
Yes.
And people have been asking me today, would you accept a promise from Boris Johnson? And my response is, I wouldn't accept a promise from any politician.
No. Well, that's what
any Prime Minister. I want it in the law.
Mm.
The bill is the law. So, that'll sort that out. Mm. Environmental standards, there's agreement. No one's going to rail on that. There's agreement. Boris has always been quite strong on the environment anyway. But he's not messing around with people's paid holidays. I don't know what his view on it is, but he knows out there he'll get a kick in if you start taking holidays.
Also, the idea that we suddenly start having worse working conditions than the rest of Europe is madness.
It is. And it says to voters in my area, hey, you lot voted for the referendum. Now we're going to cut all your pay and things.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, you what? We're not having that.
Well, it's not going to happen anyway.
No, they'd turf out any politician who did it. But not just will it not happen, it won't happen in law.
Yes.
So that kills a lot of the rubbish.
Right.
So, ironically, what I think's happening is this fence-sitter Letwin has inadvertently helped Boris Johnson.
Well,
but he's done one other thing that's got me really... You cannot imagine how annoyed I am, right? I don't mind working on a Saturday. I work plenty of Saturdays.
Have you applied for your childcare credits, as Chris Bryant has asked for?
This is the centenary match of Leeds United Football Club. I have never, in my 54 years and over 1,000 matches, been in the director's box. I've always said I'm not doing that. I agreed to go in the director's box for the centenary match today, and I'm down this bloody place. There ain't even a vote on Brexit. All we've got is Letwin's bloody junk.
Yeah, I know.
Palming it
off.
Unbelievable. I mean, you could
not make this stuff up.
Well, actually, I could have done. I ought to have said, no, I'm going to... But I thought, no, just on the off chance, there is a real vote. Mm. I better be down here, because you imagine if I didn't miss a vote on Brexit, I'd be...
Well, you could be one of the key voters as well, because the Labour Party...
Doing the figures, it'll need...
I mean, that was going to be my next question.
Needs 10... I think it needs a 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Depending on how a couple of people vote.
Well, we've just heard Kenneth Clark is going to vote for the deal.
11 Labour MPs voting for it will get it through. There'll be 11 Labour MPs voting for this deal.
And one of them is you. So you can't go to Leeds just on the off chance.
So you're needed. So much though... Yeah, you know, I had the chance to watch a bit of rugby on the telly, so it's not that bad, and we've beaten the Aussies.
Yes, well, as I said to Penny Smith this morning, the difference between the rugby and this situation is you get a result at the end of the game, the rugby, but in this case, not so much.
I've had less in touch journalists and broadcasters than your good self, Mike, asking me today about the Irish situation.
Yes.
I think they've got a chance of beating the All Blacks.
I think so too.
And I bet half of Parliament's in there watching it, because they'll be bored with... listening to Letwin by that stage.
I mean, it's an incredible scene down here, I have to say. When I was walking down about an hour or so ago, the number of people wanting to get into Parliament to see what's going on, I mean, it really has become the focus of everything in this country. We've got a march of what I call the deluded who want a second referendum. I know, as you say, you're much fairer to them than I am. But, you know, we've already had the people's vote. We've already had that decision made. For confirmatory, as far as I'm concerned, only means you confirm something that's already happened. You don't come up with a second way of trying to get away with it.
I had a phone call I had yesterday in my office. I'd done a bit of TV on Skype.
Oh, yeah.
I am a modern man.
Yes, I saw it, actually.
And anyway, in the middle of the interview, people start ringing my office to congratulate me. I'm on the interview. Shut up. Don't ring me when I'm
what?
On the telly.
To congratulate you for what?
For saying I'm sticking with the people's choice, the mandate I've got. You know, I voted to give them a referendum, for better or for worse, as did every Labour MP. I stood on a manifesto at the last election that says we'll deliver Brexit. My voters voted for Brexit 70%. The country did 52%. It's pretty straightforward where I'm coming from. But, you know, I've had so many of my constituents. I had one chap rang up, he says, I'm calling from the traveller community.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I'm speaking on behalf of 200 voters.
And where do they vote?
He said, we voted Brexit in the European elections. We just heard you on the telly. We're all voting for you. We're coming back to you, mate.
That's brilliant.
Hey,
great
now,
stuff.
That's what's going on in the real world.
Well,
out
exactly.
There.
Now, let me ask you one constitutional question, because Alan Menon, who was just here before you, said to me that once the bill is in motion, as it were, and an amendment's discussed, and if Letwin's amendment is taken on board, he said to me that he thought then that's the Parliament that owns the bill, and the government can't actually pull the bill as such. How would they do that?
Well, the government won't be pulling the bill then.
Right.
But that doesn't happen today. That happens on Monday.
Right.
So he's wrong if he thinks that happens today.
No, but I thought we were saying that basically we won't vote on the Brexit deal today.
I don't think we will. I think I don't know this bit. I'm pretty certain on the rest. What I suspect will happen is they will put this so-called meaningful vote as a clause in the bill.
Yeah.
And that'll be voted on. It'll be the last vote on the bill. So you go through all the referendum vote. Anything that people want to put on workers' rights, if that's needed, all of that kind of thing, the detail, doubtless there'll be bits on Ireland going one way or other, or attempted. That goes in, you decide it, you've got the bill that says, we're leaving, here's the detail, and then the deal that Boris Johnson's negotiated with the EU, that is the last clause of the bill, then bang, we're out. And I think they'll try and do that before the 31st.
And are you happy with the deal as it stands?
Yes,
because
I am.
A lot of people have
been happy with the deal as it stands.
I mean, obviously, those in the Brexit Party who don't like it think that it's a good position for them to adopt to say that they would want a harder Brexit. It seems to me to be a pretty fair deal for Britain. Some people are worried about the fisheries rights, but I've seen the Scottish Fisheries Association saying they're happy with it, so
it's
I don't know why people would
look,
be.
Look, it's a good deal. And you know, when you're trading, there's going to be negotiations.
Yeah.
There's further negotiations to come, in or out. Whatever happens, there's negotiations to come. You're never going to get everything you want.
No.
It is a good deal, and it's always been a good deal. And to be honest, it's an obvious deal. This was predictable for me. You know, not the exact dot and comma, you know, not subclause whatever,
right.
Page 853, but the basic tenet of what happened, change the backstop into something that's more palatable. That's what he's done.
Uh-huh.
Come back with what's there, and get out.
And also, we don't need to leave with animosity. We don't need to have an adversarial relationship with the European Union. I know there will be people now hurling their radios into the dust and say, Mike Graham's got over to the other side.
I'm quite happy to be friends with people. Listen, I hope this doesn't sound unpatriotic, but I am not going to be spending my time drinking English wine.
It's quite good, by the way. If
I can get a good bottle of French wine, you know, I'll be very happy to nip over to a French vineyard and have a bottle of their wine. I'm very happy to go to Germany,
mm-hmm.
have a few sausages, a beer, and go to the football and see the Bundesliga.
I was going to say, you're not expecting Leeds to be in Europe, are you? that's not going to happen for a while, I'm afraid.
I, as you know, like the British people, I'm an optimist.
Of course.
And a realist. And the realism is, might not get into Europe straight away from Leeds, but we'll be back in the Premiership, and I'll be there. I tell you what, me and you could go to a match when down in London.
We will. We'll do it. Absolutely right. Look forward to it. John Mann, great man. Bassett Law MP, of course. He says that we are actually being helped to leave the European Union by Oliver Letwin. I bet Oliver Letwin's not going to be too happy when he hears that. Leila Moran joins us now from Lib Dems, from Oxford West and Abingdon. Leila, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Tent of Common Sense, as we like to call it. And I guess you probably won't agree with much of what Robert said there, but what's happening over the road? Because we're all anxiously awaiting what happens with the Oliver Letwin amendment.
Indeed. So they've now started the main... there's actually two motions that are on the order paper that we could debate today. We actually think we're probably not going to get to the second one.
Okay.
So the first one is really about the Oliver Letwin amendment. They're also going to be discussing the Carl Wilson amendment at the same time, but actually the vote on that won't come till later.
And what's the Carl Wilson one exactly? Because we need to know about that.
Confirmatory referendum.
Yes.
So the idea being that we would amend this deal to say, okay, fine, we will support the deal so long as it's put back to the people with the option to remain. Suffice to say, the Liberal Democrats have been saying this for a very, very long time now, and we would support that.
So interestingly, you're not against the deal. You just want people to be able to vote on it.
Yeah, and actually our preference always has been to have a deal and then put it against the status quo, which is the deal we've already got with the European Union. And you ask people, right, this is Brexit. Now we know what it looks like. This is the deal that Boris Johnson has negotiated. Is it what you actually want? And if they say no, you revert to the status quo.
The problem I've got in many ways
is what I think should have happened, frankly, 3 years ago.
I think the whole process could have been done better. I think we'd all agree on that. But I think the difficulty with using the word confirmatory referendum is that you can only confirm something once you've already decided upon it, surely.
Well, that would be the idea.
Yeah, but you can't confirm something that wasn't decided, i.e. people have already voted to leave the European Union. So actually, by confirming that they want to remain, I can see you making a face but they did vote to leave, right?
They voted to leave. But which version, right? So they didn't
They didn't vote to remain, though. So you can't confirm that if you follow my logic.
Well, what you do is you say, do you want to confirm that this is the deal that you thought you were voting for? And I think what's interesting is that I keep meeting people who have indeed changed their minds. You can argue in both directions, fine. But
I mean, certainly
most
of the polls suggest that most people just want it done now.
I think a lot of people do want to move on, but I think the big lie that's being sold to everyone right now is that even if a deal did get through today, and by the way, I think actually what's going to happen today is that the Letwin Amendment is going to go through. Just to explain what that is, that means that today the deal is not confirmed or denied or anything. All it says is that we wait until the withdrawal agreement legislation, because this isn't legislation, this is just a motion. This is, if you like, an indicative vote as to whether people want the deal or not.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be until the actual agreement came before us and we actually had some proper time to debate this. And then at the end of that, that would be the actual passing of the deal. What that would mean is that he would have to ask for an extension, and he doesn't have to use it, is the point. He would then probably have to bring back the legislation and get it through, and not until the end of that process would we know whether or not there was a majority.
Our understanding is that if it does get voted through, the amendment by Oliver Letwin, that the government will bring back the withdrawal agreement, the withdrawal bill, if you like, on Monday, and that process could begin then.
Indeed.
Which could then go for the rest of next week, probably, and probably be completed by the end of that week. So in a way, while you can kind of understand the logic, I mean, Oliver Letwin says he likes the deal. He's just worried that there's going to be a no-deal scenario, which could still happen anyway after all of that takes place. So, I mean, effectively, this is just another delaying factor. And I know that from the reaction I'm getting today on the phones and on social media, people are really, really keen to get this done. They thought today was going to be the historic day when actually we finally made a move to leave the European Union. But it's been frustrated again, and I have to say, frustrated by people in Parliament who are just trying to kind of prolong the agony, if you like. That's what it seems like.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, and I'm sure your listeners will probably not appreciate this, but we are, as Liberal Democrats, always saying that we want to stop Brexit. We've been really upfront about
that. No, you have. I've often said that you're the only kind of sort of consistent party in Westminster, because you've always said the same thing.
Yeah.
And we get that.
And
but
we stand up. Our democracy works is we need to stand up for the people who voted us in, and we were very clear all along about what they were voting for when they got Liberal Democrats. But we've also got to appreciate that just because this deal passes, you then go into transition, and there is another moment at the end of transition, and this is what we're hearing from some of, you know, there are people who are worried that at the end of that you could go off the cliff edge of no deal. And I think we are all agreed there are levels of degrees here, right? Our ideal would be to stop Brexit and remain. That's the best for our economy. I also think there's an identity issue here. I am both British and European, and I want both nationalities, but no deal would be absolutely
catastrophic. But I might like to be British and American, but I can't have both nationalities.
But
unless
we can.
Decide,
but that's the point. Right
I
now,
decide,
you can.
Well, I can't be European. I can't become a citizen
we
of
are,
Germany.
You are European.
But I'm not a citizen of Germany, am I?
Right now. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, what am I then?
There is a European identity. We have European
passports. Well, it may be an identity,
passports.
But I'm not a national of Europe.
Right
Europe
now,
is not a country.
The European Union gives us rights across
But I'm a citizen
the
of the
European
United
Union.
Kingdom.
You are a citizen
That's
of the United
vote.
Kingdom. It's not just about being... It's not about passports, though, only. It's also about how we feel in our hearts.
Well, exactly, but you can't tell people
me,
how they should feel in their hearts, though, can you?
Well, this is why you go and you ask them again. Because
well,
I think there is a lot of people out there who feel that actually by leaving the European Union, it is a statement about a change of identity for this country. Who are we closest to? We are closest to, and you know, Boris Johnson today was talking about his European friends. Well, actually, I don't think of them as just friends. This is our European family. We constructed it together. We share values. we operate together on the global world stage, which
we
is getting more
that many
and more
values.
Precarious.
So we share values with the Spanish government who go around bashing heads in Barcelona because they don't like the idea
there
of Catalan independence. Do we share values with President Macron in France who goes around bashing people's heads because he doesn't like the fact that they're demonstrating?
First of all, I mean, I think, what's your language there?
Why?
We're trying to bashing people's heads.
Well, that's what
quite
they're doing.
Violent language.
Well, they are being very violent. Have
and
you not seen the footage?
Also,
have you seen the footage from Barcelona?
Macron himself did not do that. I'm just asking, at a time when we know that, you know, MPs and indeed members of the public are getting threats,
I'm not
going to
buy into that. No, I'm not going to dial it down because that's what's happening. People are getting injured in Barcelona. What are you saying about that to the European Union, who are saying nothing, by the way?
To the point.
The family is dysfunctional, is it not?
But nonetheless, they are our family. And I consider myself European. I consider myself British. I have values of openness, of tolerance. I believe that the best of Britain is to stay in the European Union. That's why the Liberal Democrats want to stop Brexit. And we feel the way to do that is to take this deal. And we would vote for it if it was put back to the people and actually let them decide.
So you would vote for a deal to leave the European Union even though you don't want to?
We would vote for a deal that had a confirmatory referendum attached to it, where actually what we say is this started with the people in a referendum. Let's put it back to the people to make that final decision. That's why the people's vote is also called the final say.
And if,
give people
and if,
the final say.
Well, they already had
on
a final
that deal
say, actually. It was a final say the last
with
time.
With that deal, with the option to remain. That's all we've ever said. It's actually
well,
very
it wasn't
simple.
What you said before the first referendum, because after the first referendum, everybody said this was a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generation chance to vote on the future of this country and its relationship with the European Union. And that promise has now been broken by everybody. Okay?
But
now, here's the thing.
Would
if they
not
vote,
agree, though, that we have more information now
no,
about
not.
That deal? Really? So this deal with the border down the Irish Sea, you foresaw that. You knew that yourself, did you?
I didn't care
that
about
point?
That.
Well,
I didn't care.
Some people do. And in fact, the DUP do.
The
which
DUP
is why they
care.
Are not voting for this deal.
But the DUP are not elected as the government of this country. And I actually thought it was a rather shoddy deal that was done with the DUP because Theresa May messed up her election and managed to lose the majority that she had. So she had to then get into bed with a party, which most people in Lib Dems would have to say are an extreme party who are religiously, shall we say, intolerant, who are not the sort of people who you would say were part of a family that you would support. So why are you defending the DUP suddenly?
I'm not defending the DUP. My point is that they also represent interests and constituents. The way democracy works is that we all get together and talk about these things.
And you have
but
to go with the majority
end,
rule.
In the end, we want to make sure, and that's all we've ever said, just go back to the people and check. Is this the deal you wanted? Maybe you don't care about the Irish border. Fine. But there are people out there who do. Some of them live in Northern Ireland.
Some of them
know what it means to
them. Some of
them
who live in Northern Ireland are quite happy with the deal. Well, let me ask you one
Very
final
many
question,
of them
Leila.
Aren't, by the way.
Let me ask you one final question. A lot of them don't support the DUP in Northern Ireland, by the
Absolutely
way.
Absolutely
As I'm
right.
sure you're aware. The bottom line here is that when is the Lib Dem party going to recognise, if, for example, there was a second referendum and you lost that one as well, when would you then recognise that actually Britain is out of the European Union, and when would you then come up with some policy about what you're going to do next?
We have always said that we have stood by our values of internationalism, of openness, of tolerance. We believe that our best place is in the heart of Europe, and we will always continue to make the case for that.
Okay, so you would probably campaign for getting back in then?
Let's see what happens today.
Okay, let's see. What's
We're
going to
try and
best?
Stop it
What's
first.
What's your best guess that's going to happen today?
Honestly, we have no idea. We're you know, sort of huddled in a room looking at tweets, go, oh, what have they said now? You know, Norman Lamb has come out and he will vote with us against the deal today. We know that there are others who said that they would vote against who now may be voting for. I think it's an incredibly fluid situation. I'm not generally a betting woman, but if someone else is, I'd say keep
be.
Your money in your pocket.
I would say
it's
the same.
It's way too difficult to tell.
Yes, it really, really, very much is. Leila, thank you very
thank
much
you.
Indeed.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Mike Graham, live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We are live on College Green in Westminster. The tide has turned slightly. The sun is no longer shining on us. It's turned a little bit chilly. I don't know whether that's got anything to do with the political climate. Maya Tuzi is here with us, a conservative YouTuber, of course. We're going to take some calls. We're going to talk to Mark Francois coming up in the next hour as well. But first of all, we want to hear from you. 0344 499 1000. Andy is in Littlehampton. Andy, very good morning to you.
Very good morning to you, Mike.
How's it going?
What a lovely morning it is. Well, how's it going? I mean, look, it's this atmosphere of confusion and disinformation that's now been sown by the politicians in the bubble, which is known as Westminster.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of effort to look underneath all that confusion and disinformation to really try to get a handle on what is actually going on. And yes. I think that, you know, politicians are relying on this. And I think what they do is they rely on the anger of their demographic to act as a cover for the subversive moves that they're doing underneath just to push through their own agendas. So what I mean by that is, for example, Jeremy Corbyn will go on about work. He'll mention lots of words with workers in, workers' rights, right, environmental, blah, 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 and everything. Now, regardless of whether that's true or not, what he's trying to do is hit the anger points of the various demographics.
Well, yeah,
so
because John Mann told us.
They don't look any further.
No, because John Mann told us this morning, Andy, that as far as he's aware, the workers' rights part of the conversation has now been written into the bill. So it's now law. So actually, it's more than just, because I described it as having been tweaked last night. In fact, it's been written into the bill, which means that Corbyn's talking absolute rubbish, right? Which doesn't surprise me, because this is the same guy who tells us that this is a Trump Brexit, because he keeps saying the word Trump, because he thinks if he says Trump enough, everyone will think, oh my God, we're going to become the 51st state of America.
Well, quite right, Mike. I mean, within 2 minutes of his speech, you mentioned the word Trump and chlorinated chicken. Again, resonating words with a certain demographic who hear that and they won't look any further. And that's exactly why he does it. They won't take the trouble to look any further. And why should they?
Well, I don't know if you heard my rather bizarre conversation with Annalise Dodds, right, who wanted to talk to me about the price of two different packets of crisps. And I said, this is why we haven't got anything done for 3.5 years. That's not the point.
During that conversation, I was actually going berserk on Twitter. I must have sent about 5 tweets to you in that conversation. I was
I think I've only just caught up with some of them, but it's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, but the other thing, of course, is that when Jeremy Corbyn, which we use him as an example, they're all doing it, but we use him as an example, when he throws the bone out of workers' rights, climate, et cetera, et cetera, what he's actually doing is he's giving a wing for his career politicians to hang their hat on. So for example, because someone on a salary of £77,000 plus who might be out of a job in a general election or if they don't vote for it and everything, what he's basically saying in code is, well, look, this is why you can say to your electorate, that's why you didn't vote for the deal, regardless of whether it's true or not. And I'm just sick of all this disinformation and self-interest and narcissism. There's millions of people out here, millions. And what gives your guest, for example, that Annalisa, what gives her a supreme knowledge of how business functions and what people want above, say, the millions of CEOs
I mean, it's now a well-worn path that they tread, isn't it? That they say, oh, I've got thousands of emails from people who are worried. Oh, really? Okay, then. That's what Steve Doughty told me shortly before he blocked me on Twitter. I've still never seen one of the emails, never mind thousands of them. You know?
I mean, how about the door knocking? I mean, that's another thing that gets me.
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody's yet beaten the Jess Phillips record of 26,000 door knocks in a week.
That's right, exactly, the 26,000 door knocks. I mean, I've been knocking on doors. Look, I never believe that door knocking business, because how many doors can they knock at? Look, there's a whole internet, there's a whole way of getting your demographics, the Westminster voting internet, everything out there. Listen to my message to the politicians, if they listen, is please listen to the people out here. We are fed up of being absolutely stuck in a dead end because of you self-pacificating and, you know, thinking about your careers and your next party move. And also, we can also see what you're doing, the fact that you're trying to remove the legitimate government, and particularly Boris Johnson, without a single vote being cast out here by the British public. We know that's what you're up to, and we're not going to let you get away with it.
Exactly right, Andy. Very well said. What a top man. Andy Littlehampton there, speaking, I think, for an awful lot of people in this country. I mean, let's go to Vernon, who's in Worcester. Hello, Vernon.
Super Saturday, Michael. Good morning.
Super Saturday. So far, so good, but we shall see.
Yeah, it was always going to go down to the wire. You know, yeah. Property. Your gentleman who took my call initially, the Aussie, he didn't like the fact that I reminded that England gave Australia a jubbing this morning.
So yes, that was a good way to start the day, rather like the Canning Town Revolution the other day.
Indeed, and of course now I suppose the sad thing about it is I suppose the good and the bad is really simple, is that everyone that needed to be exposed as true Remainers that actually don't want to leave the EU, it's now there for everyone to see. So we can exact our revenge eventually when we get to the election ballot, as it were. But I had hoped today that common sense would prevail. Boris has done what people said he wouldn't do. He's got us a deal. And now Oliver Letwin has put this little spanner in the works. And I agree with John Mann. I think it will help in the end. It's just very irritating because I thought today we would be on our way. But like everything, they're just putting off the inevitable.
There's always something, yeah. I mean, as Charlotte was just telling us, you know, the idea that Oliver Letwin is doing this because he wants to somehow stop Brexit actually isn't even true, because he said that he's in favour of the bill. He just wants to prove that he's got some kind of giant brain.
Yeah, I think the other thing as well is that they just don't trust Boris at the end of the day, do they? And to be fair, Boris is so smart because everything that they've done has actually... It actually worked for him.
Yes, exactly. And also, this, you know, when we heard this morning, just before the show started, that, you know, if the amendment goes through that Letwin wants, they'll basically pull the whole vote on the deal. That is Dominic Cummings' playbook straight away, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, the thing is that Letwin, Hammond, Gawke, Rudd, all of these people, I mean, they are going to be public enemies number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because all, you know, I've no problem, just come out and tell everybody you don't want to leave the EU. Just don't hide behind this little bit of tittle-tattle. Just say it as it is, which is fine. Everyone has opinions.
Yeah. But please, and the point is, though, what worries me here, though, is that, you know, you're a relatively well-educated man on the political front, Vernon, and you can decide for yourself what it is that is going on here. But there's a lot of people who are very confused. They're getting told very different things, very mixed signals from all sorts of politicians who are not being, you know, genuine about what is actually going on and what is at stake and whether it's a good deal and what we should do. And I don't think Nigel Farage is helping either by telling everyone it's a terrible deal. So all the Brexiteers who voted for the Brexit Party in the European election are feeling like they've been done over.
It's just the lies, though, isn't it? Let's be fair about it. Medicine. You know, we had shortages a few weeks ago.
Exactly. That's what I was just explaining to my learned friend from the Labour Party.
You mean another Remainer? I mean, Jeremy Corbyn, yeah. I mean, how stupid. Before he even saw what Boris had negotiated, he said, we can't vote, we can't agree to that.
No, you know what I mean? It's absolutely ridiculous.
I wonder how he gets to, does he shopping? Does he go to the shops and then say, I can't buy that, I'll go home? I mean, the man's a lunatic.
No, he gets James Milne to do it for him, does he?
Yeah, perhaps he does. Anyway, Mike, it's great having you on a Saturday. I've not enjoyed a Saturday morning like this. Just en route to Villa Park. Prime the V10. The pollution is rapidly en route to Birmingham at the moment. So you have a good day and fingers crossed.
Yes, well, enjoy the day. I hope the football doesn't ruin it for you, by all means. Thank you very much indeed. Vernon there in Worcester on his way to Villa Park. You're listening to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio with The Times. Know your times.
Outspoken opinions and decisive debate. Mike Graham, live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We are here on College Green. We're live in Westminster as everything unfolds behind me in the Palace of Westminster in the House of Commons. We've heard from Jeremy Corbyn. We've heard from Boris Johnson. There are now various questions being put. David Gawke currently up sitting, standing, I should say. They're sitting, of course, for the first time in 37 years since the Falklands War. First time this century that Saturday business has been conducted in the Palace of Westminster. We're here for the first time as well. Julie Hartley-Brewer is following me at 1 o'clock. It's going to be an absolutely brilliant and very exciting day, we think, although it could all end in nothing, because it's very possible that the Oliver Letwin amendment, which would seek to delay the Brexit bill, might result in the government pulling the Brexit vote altogether until next week. 0344 499 1000. We're now joined by two young Conservatives, Eliza Brandreth and Felix Hillback. Welcome to both of you. Well done for joining us. And both of you have completely different views of Brexit, I understand. Felix, you first of all.
Well, I think, look, the reality is this deal is not going to get through Parliament, just like all the other ones, for the reason that the DUP aren't even getting on board with it. I mean, the Conservative Party were previously relying on those 10 DUP DUP MPs in order to get things through, to get things through the Commons, and now they've turned around and said that they're not even going to support the bill.
But you know what's interesting about that? And I've got a theory that this was actually a plan from way back when, because when Boris Johnson took the whip away from the 21 Tory MPs who voted against the government, he effectively neutered the DUP altogether because they could no longer help him. And he was then able to negotiate a deal with Northern Ireland, getting rid of the backstop, which the DUP wouldn't want them to do, and get away with it somehow. And I think there has been a calculation made somewhere that there's enough Labour MPs, as many as 10 or 11 we're told, who would vote with the deal, so they don't need the DUP. So, I mean, I share your pessimism about the closeness of it, but I don't think it's absolutely... I don't think you can actually say right now that the vote will not go through.
Well, even if you had 10 or 11 Labour MPs to back the deal, which I think is going to be a bit of a push, you still won't get this deal through the House, because at the moment the opposition have the majority.
Well, that's not actually how the mathematics works out, but let me talk to Eliza first of all, because you're a Remainer, actually, aren't you, Philly?
So I am.
Are you sure you're a Tory?
Yeah, of course I am.
You're absolutely sure?
It is the most conservative thing to be.
Is that right?
Absolutely,
right,
yes.
Okay. Well, it doesn't seem to be Conservative Party policy, but anyway, over to you, Eliza. What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, if it does pass, I think this is a really exciting thing. We can finally just put it all to bed and move on, and I think that would be great. I think, I disagree with Felix. I think, actually, there is likelihood that this gets through. There are sort of some of the MPs that lost the whip a few weeks ago are interested in backing this deal.
Well, even Kenneth Clarke said he's going to back the deal. And I mean, if he's doing it, then you've got to believe that there's going to be pretty much only Dominic Grieve probably who doesn't.
Yeah, and I think if you've got that and you've got a few sort of... Because hopefully, obviously, with the opposition, I think at this point they're just opposing for the sake of it. I think actually a lot of MPs on the especially on the Labour side, I think when it comes down to it, they want this over and done with as well, and they would back this deal.
Well, there's an awful lot of Labour MPs, Felix, aren't there, who are in a very bad situation here, because first we heard that Jeremy Corbyn was going to whip them to vote against the deal. We then heard that possibly he wasn't going to do that. We don't yet know how that's going to play out. He's probably going to whip them to vote for Oliver Letwin's amendment. Mm-hmm. But there are an awful lot of Labour MPs who either do not wish to be deselected by their own party, or who do not wish to vote for the blocking of leaving the European Union, because their constituencies have voted massively to leave the EU.
I know, but the deal isn't that different from Theresa May's deal. The only big difference is the backstop, but even then...
That's quite a big difference.
Well, but it's not, because when you look at...
Well, it means that Britain is not in the customs union.
Well, when you look at the technicalities, though, Northern Ireland will remain in the single market.
Yeah.
And every 4 years, they can then vote on whether or not they want to remain in that.
Yeah.
That, I mean, look...
Why does that bother you so much?
Because I think
you don't live in Northern Ireland.
No. If we're gonna remain in the European Union, as a collective, as a UK wide, we all have to remain. It can't just be Northern Ireland. But it's also going to create so many legal issues. For example, I mean, there's going to be such a big back market when eventually Northern Ireland can do single market and free trade with the rest of the European Union. So, but then we have no control on where those goods.
That's not true, because
that's unfair. I think, you know, in this day and age, like, we do have the technological abilities to be able to track goods, to be able to...
Well, it's effectively how it already works. The only difference is that Northern Ireland, in a rather, what I think is a rather clever move by Boris Johnson, is going to still be in the UK and in the EU, which makes it incredibly easy to basically administrate, because they're going to have a border. They've already got a border point anyway in Holyhead. If you drive a truck across from Northern Ireland, put it on a boat, arrive in Anglesey, there is already a border checkpoint there. So, you know, the fact that we haven't got one is rubbish. There is one.
What I'm saying is though that there's no big difference between what Theresa May put in her deal and what Boris Johnson has just come back with. For example, EU citizens' rights. EU citizens still don't have workers' rights until 5 years after living here. Whereas if I wanted to go to Australia for 2 years, I would get Australian rights after 2 years of working there.
Okay, but I want to remain in the European Union. So
I
that's
do,
why.
Yeah. So, but, well, yeah, of course I do.
Why?
I mean, like, why? Because I mean, what's conservative? What's logical about wanting to cut yourself off from 27 different trade deals? Tell me what's logical about that.
Well, it's not a question of being logical. Britain is the fifth biggest economy.
Britain is also a logical country.
It's the fifth biggest economy. Well, it used to be. It's the fifth biggest economy in the country, right? In the world, rather. So England and the UK is still going to be the fifth biggest economy in the world after we've left the European Union. The European Union...
You cannot guarantee that.
Simply... Yeah, of course it... What, you think that Britain is going to become poorer by leaving?
Absolutely.
It won't. We don't...
We do a small amount of business
with the European Union collectively. Most of the small business in this country do not even trade with the European Union, okay? Trading also by Remainers is always misspoken about, because at the end of the day, trade is done between companies by and large. It is not done between countries, okay? Mm-hmm. Many, many company directors will tell you that. Anybody who runs a business will tell you that. There are regulations that you have to apply to do, and other regulations which you don't have to worry about. The point is that with Britain being outside of the European Union, most of the business from the European Union that comes here will continue to come here. Nobody's going to start putting tariffs on cars or putting tariffs on champagne.
You can't
or putting tariffs
that.
On. Well, I pretty much can guarantee, huh. actually, because if you talk to anyone who is in any of those businesses, mm-hmm. they know that it would be a massive, massive idiotic move, right? Why do you think Volkswagen are moving one of their plants outside the European Union? Because it's cheaper. Why do you think they fear Britain becoming independent from Europe? Mm-hmm. Because they fear that Britain's economy will be actually more competitive than anything inside the EU, and nobody will be able to tell Britain that they have to do exactly what the EU does.
Okay, so show me where the legislation actually guarantees that we can have more trade outside of the European Union.
What do you mean, show you the legislation?
Show me where.
I don't have a copy of the bill here.
No, of course you don't.
Do you have one?
No, because there isn't going to be one.
Well,
there is no guarantee that you're going to have more trade outside
the
European Union.
The reason you're upset with this whole idea is that you want to talk about details, which most people can't even understand.
But it's important.
Well, it's important, but it's not important for you and I to talk about it, right?
Of course it is.
It's not. It's important for us.
It's part of the discussion.
No, it's important for us to have a conversation about the future of a country which has been very, very good without the European Union, which has been great inside the European Union, but will still be great outside of it.
But you can't guarantee that.
Well, of course you can.
You can't.
Well, I think it's patronising for people to have this debate anymore. You know, we've had the vote.
We've had the vote. It's done.
I think the important thing, a lot of people say, you know, well, now we know what Brexit would look like, now we can have a vote on it. But I genuinely don't see what we have, what information we have now that we didn't previously have 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's patronising to tell people that they don't.
And also, you can't guarantee anything. I mean, you can't guarantee that you're going to be able to get on a tube train and it's going to get to its destination. It might break down. Do you want a guarantee for everything in life?
Look, there is a difference between you and I. The difference
there's a lot of differences.
The main difference is that I care about the technicalities, because the technicalities at the end of the day have the biggest
but
impact
what,
on people's
what,
lives.
What makes you
the
think you even
is,
know what they are, though?
Well, I think the fact that we don't know the technicalities is what's actually
so
quite worrying.
So you care about something you know nothing about?
I think I care about something that I know that's going to have a bigger impact on people's lives.
What impact is it going to have on your life, personally?
Trade deals? Well,
anything.
Trade deals... Well,
Leaving the European Union, how is that going to make you worse off?
My right to go and work and live freely in the European
that's
Union?
That's not true.
Of course
if
it is.
If you get a job in Berlin mm-hmm. and they need you to go and work in Berlin, you will be able to go there, just as everybody could do it before the European Union even existed.
The reality is that the restrictions obviously increase as you come out of the European Union. That is a given. Correct?
How many jobs have you had?
How many jobs have I had? Probably in my lifetime, I've probably had about 5 or 6, and that's not a very long lifetime.
How many jobs? 5 or 6 jobs?
5 or 6, yeah.
Okay, well, what was the best job you had?
Working for the Conservatives for a People's Vote campaign. I'd say that was a pretty good
that's
job,
that's not
actually.
A proper job, don't give
it is.
Absolute
course
nonsense.
It is.
You're a student, right?
Of course I am,
so
yeah.
when you finish your graduation, right,
yeah.
and you have a qualification, if you yeah. want to go and work somewhere else in the world, you can do it. Trust me. I went to work in America, right,
yeah.
when I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
I didn't need a visa to do so. I just needed the wherewithal to go there and get it done.
Okay.
And that's what you should have an attitude about.
I believe that actually the way in which we treat like European and outside Europe differently on that kind of front is discriminatory. You know, the fact that we allow Europeans to come and work and live here, and we don't, and we have, you know, tougher restrictions on people from outside the
that's
EU and vice versa.
We have more immigration from outside of the European Union than we do from within.
So why do we discriminate?
We don't discriminate. That's the point.
Well, actually, you're not right. That's not right. Because if
it
you come
is
here from,
correct.
It's not. If you come here from Australia,
yeah.
right, yeah, you have to go through a different place, a passport control, than if you're in the European Union. I know
so
that's changing as we speak. But basically, I have friends from Australia who are pretty unhappy about that.
Okay. So you're telling me that despite government statistics showing that we have more immigration coming from outside the European Union than within, it's still incorrect.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
Right, okay, fine.
Because you've got it wrong. Once again,
well, the government's
why don't you
got
go?
Wrong,
I'll tell you what, why don't you go
no,
on the Remainers march? Because that's what you are. You're a Remainer. They're Remainers.
Absolutely.
They want to, are you going on the march?
Absolutely. No, I'm not going on the march.
Why not?
Why? Because I've got other
you've got better things to do, so you don't care about it that much.
No, of course I do. I've spent the past 3 years campaigning for us to remain. But look, I will meet you halfway in this at this point.
All right.
And I will say, look, my this is where I think what I think should happen. Today's bill's not going to go through. Instead, what should happen is that we should have a general election, establish that there's a majority in the parliament, so we can actually get some, that we can actually get a deal through the House, plus all the other kind of policies and legislation that the government want to do. Once we've got a majority, then we come back with a proper Brexit deal that's actually going to do well for the United Kingdom, and then we have a people's vote on it.
But well, you see, I was with you all the way until you said the people's vote bit at the end. But I'll meet you halfway. I'll say, yes, let's have a general election. We can all agree on that. Thank you very much, Felix and Eliza. Good luck with the rest of the day. I'm sorry that you're not committed enough to go on the march, but never mind. There'll be loads of other people who are. You're listening to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio with The Times. Know your times.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.